Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
There's some faith in the house. Expectancy in the house. Amen. If you'll stand back with me, you can be seated just for a moment. If not, just keep standing. How about that? Amen. What an honor and privilege it is to be at the Pentecostals of Portland, and love and appreciate Brother Hanson, Sister Hanson, their family. If you love your pastor and pastor's wife, why don't you give them a hand clap of appreciation? Yeah. The Bible says give honor where honor is due. Amen. And appreciate their ministry and their leadership and being kingdom-minded. I said it in the first service, but I want to say it again because it's so valuable and important that we are kingdom-minded. Amen. It's just not about what's happening locally, but it's what's happening globally in the kingdom of God, and you are part of that. And so very thankful for what God's doing. What a great service, our first service we had this morning. And if you wasn't here, I don't know if they recorded it or not, but if they did get it, if they didn't, then you just had to been here. You missed it. Not because I preached, but the Lord really spoke. But I wanted to challenge somebody in the beginning that if you feel the Lord spoke to us dwelling in the promise, and if you feel God nudging you to do more in him, then that's God. That's not you. That's not your flesh. That's not the devil. They're never going to tell you to do more and encourage you to just listen to God and just go ahead and obtain the promise. It's yours. He's given it to you. And I feel there was just a prophetic word for this church that there's so much more to come. You're just in the, we're not at the end of it. You're in the beginning. Your best days are still ahead of you, not behind you. We're still the head and not the tail. The enemy is defeated and he's under our feet because we're God's church. We belong to the master. And this end time hour is the church's, not the enemy's. Amen. We are victorious and not defeated. There's more, not less. Amen. And God wants us to dwell and to live in his promises. And so if God's moving on you for more giftings and callings and to be more involved, I challenge you, listen to the voice of God and go talk to your pastor, amen, and work with him in his leadership, but obey what God's doing because God's trying to push his church further and deeper in the things of God. And I just, I know the Lord's given me a different message for this service, but I want to challenge you to listen to what God is drawing and stirring and doing. Amen. And God is going to equip you and he's going to invest in you and he's going to bless you for your efforts. And so thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for being faithful. Amen. And I feel compelled to share with you this morning. The Lord showed me a vision of this church with the hand of the Lord over the church and over this city, and it is the hand of authority, dominion, and power. So God's not only given that to your pastor, God's not only given it to this church, he's given it to you as individuals that are a part of his kingdom, power, dominion, and authority. Now, that's key and important for what I feel God's going to do in this house today, because it's not about our flesh. It's not about our limitations. It's not about our inabilities, because we all have them. It's not about all the things we cannot do. It's all about who God is and what he can do. And he can still do anything. Amen. And so what an honor and privilege. Had an awesome time at the Soul Winners Conference. And Oregon's on the move. I don't just say that. And I've been to this state 5 times and loved all of them. And so got to visit and got friends that live in Salem and got to see different things. But I'm going to tell you, there's something different in this trip to Oregon in the spirit realm than it's ever been in any of my visits. And I'm saying that sincerely. There's a shift in the spirit that's taking place. And I just want to challenge you. In case you don't know, this church ain't even big enough. Amen. And I'm thankful for what I feel and I see. But as I go to what God wants me to preach today, there's some of you walked in here and you need a miracle. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. I hope you feel the miraculous in the air, and I hope I can just build your faith, because I'm telling you, if you need a miracle today, God stepped into this house on this Sunday morning and to release the miraculous in this place. Amen. So if you'll stand with me again, I know you were standing a while ago, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Again, what an honor and privilege. I love Brother Hanson, Sister Hanson. They're just an awesome couple. And I don't just say that in front of them. I mean that sincerely. So, but thankful for their leadership. All the leadership team, ministry team of this church, I give you honor, because it takes a team working together. Amen. Great job to our music department. Amen. That led today in worship. So it's not easy. I'm involved in all. I'm a church planner, so you have to do everything, you know, in the beginning. But we've got a team now. Hallelujah. I didn't even play the drums when we started, but we had a need. So I just sat down with no lessons, no nothing, and said, God, you got to do something. I still can't play the drums, but I get on there and do something. So, but just 2 weeks ago, the Lord sent us a drummer. But I still have to play at least one Sunday a month, one Wednesday a month, because I give them a break. How about that? Romans chapter 12 and 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Anybody feel what I'm telling you, there's an expectancy in this house. Amen. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That is some wisdom right there. But to think soberly, because it's not about us, it's about him. According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, if you look at this scripture here, it's almost like the last part is out of place. Because we're talking about grace and not thinking more, not to be exalted or highly, be soberly. And then all of a sudden at the end, he's like, well, I've given every man the measure of faith. Amen. So with the help of the Lord, I want to preach, what is the measure of your faith? What is the measure of your faith? Would you pray with me right now together? Amen. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this service. Thank you for what I feel in my spirit. God, the expectancy and the faith in this house. God, I pray and I bind every distraction. I bind every hindrance. I bind every attack of the enemy in this house. But we lose faith and dominion and authority and power in the name of Jesus. And God, we declare your victory in this house. We declare the miraculous in this house. And God, we pray your will to be done in this place. And we're going to give you praise and glory and honor. In the name of Jesus. One more time, would you clap your hands unto the Lord and give him some praise? Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. I always wished I could whistle like that, but I can't. So. Amen. We all have, it's okay to laugh in church. If we can't have fun in church, where are we going to have fun at? You know? Amen. We all have the measure of faith. And I want to talk about that, because God has given all of us, in the beginning of our life, when he created us, we have the measure of faith. Now, I can't tell you exactly what that measure is and what that exactly means in detail, but he's given us all the same level of faith when we're created, the same measure. It's the measure of faith. Now, I understand in my life, I can either increase it, I can leave it the same, I can go put it on the shelf and leave it in a box and never use it. Or I can use my faith, and as I use my faith, it'll grow and it will expand. And so I know in this house, even though God originally gave all of us the measure of faith, in this house as individuals, there are different levels of faith. Amen. There are some here today that have great faith, and there are some here today that may have medium faith, and there are some of you that may just have the lowest form of faith there is. That's okay. That makes us unique. We're all different. Thank God there's not a house full of just me's today. Amen. It would be boring, and it wouldn't look so good. Amen. And so we all have the different levels of faith. That is important because it really doesn't matter today, no matter what your level of faith is, because if you put your faith in the right place, which is in God, then anything is possible. Yes, amen. And so we all have this measure of faith. And I have a tape measure today, and it allows us to measure things. Now, this goes up to 25 foot. After that, you know, you got to, oh, how do you use this thing? I know how to, oh. It won't lock. It's broke. Hey, I was using it right. It just won't lock. I've used a tape measure my whole life. I didn't know how to do that. I just need to go home. My dad would whoop me. I've been using one of these since I wasn't even old enough to use one, and I still been using one. So... Brother Hanson broke it on purpose, just so I get up here and yeah. If he fixed it where only he could do it. And that way when I give it to him, it'll, and so he's like, you know, don't, it really is broke. No, anyway. So well, glory. Let's get I'm gonna get back on track. So I can pass this measuring tape around today, and I promise you there's somebody in here that don't know how to read a tape. Oh, now there's some of you that may say you know how to read it, but when I start asking you about all the little lines in between the numbers, you may know what the half is, but what about, you know, all the others? The fourths and the 3/8 and the 5/8 and all the different, you know, 7/16 and where we're at. So, you know, we're going through this tape. Now, I can teach you how to read a tape. My dad taught me at a very young age. I've been in construction. He owned a construction company. But the reality is not everybody knows how to read a tape properly. But I learned very young it's a whole lot better to measure twice and cut once. Now, if you don't cut enough, you can still cut some extra. But if you cut too much, it's over. It's done. And I've been in places where we've cut some very expensive stuff. And if you cut it too short, the boss is coming out. Because somebody got to pay for that. Because it wasn't measured correctly. And so here I could pass this tape around and I could ask everyone here to read this tape and how to measure things. And we can measure out 25 feet. We can measure out 1 inch. We can measure out 1/4 or 1/8 of an inch. We can measure different things with this tape measure because it has the ability to measure in very different variety of ways. It can do different measurements. And I know if I walked around here today and I talked with each of you, I could probably figure out how to measure where your faith is because it's going to be in different levels. Everybody's going to be differently. But the reality is we need to learn how to measure things correctly. So the most important thing today is not about where your faith is exactly, but it's about how to measure your faith correctly. What is the measure of your faith? I'm not talking about faith in general. I'm talking about your faith. What is the measure of your faith and how do you measure it correctly? Well, we could probably say today, well, maybe I measure my faith correctly on how I respond to the move of God and how I respond to the preaching of God. And yes, while that is true and while that is important, that still doesn't define the full correct way to measure your faith. Maybe we can measure our faith today based off of what we do and our response in a few minutes or where we go or how we act or what exactly we do. And sure, that would be a good way, but it's still not the correct way to measure our faith. Maybe it's based off of where we go, who we hang around, or what we, you know, what place we partake of. And yeah, that'd still be good. You need to do all of these things correctly, but it's really still not the correct way to measure our faith. In Mark chapter 5, we find a woman had an issue of blood for 12 long years. She had this disease and she suffered many things of many physicians. And if you've been around the church at all, you've probably heard this story preached on. She had spent everything she had because she had a desire and a hope that she would be made whole. She spent her money and her time and her energy and her effort. She went from doctor to doctor to doctor, but rather she didn't get any better, she got worse. Amen. Doctor after doctor couldn't help her. But when she heard of Jesus, when all the things of hope failed her and all the things of life let her down, and now she had lost all of her money and she had lost all of her hope and she had lost everything, and all she had was a worse condition than what she did even 12 years before. Amen. But when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press and touched his garment, for she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Sometimes we got to push things out of the way, and sometimes we got to push obstacles out of the way, and sometimes we got to push our own insecurities and our own doubts and our own fears, and sometimes we even got to push our own mindset and our own inabilities and our own self-issues, amen, to get to the place where we're touching Jesus no matter what, amen, to be with something of faith that says hope has failed me, life has failed me, situations that fail me, but if I can just touch my Jesus, if I can get a hold of the Master, I shall be whole. And when she touched him, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, knowing immediately that virtue has left him, he turned and asked his disciples, who touched me? And they looked at him and said, Lord, don't you realize everybody's touching? The multitudes around you. He said, no, there's something different about this touch. It wasn't a physical touch. Amen. It wasn't anything else except for somebody touched me with their faith. And when you touch God with your faith, it will get his attention every time. And this is why, because the faith that you have belongs to him. He gave you the measure of faith. And when you touch him, what belongs to him, it will stop him even in the multitude. It'll stop him even in the storm, because you're touching him with faith. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen. And so you got to understand, the Bible says that he looked around and he seen her done this thing. So this woman come fearing and trembling and begin to tell him all the truth. He said, no, it's all right. You don't have to fear and you don't have to worry when it comes to being with Jesus. He doesn't give us the spirit of fear. Amen. And so the Bible says, he looked at her and said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go and be healed of that plague. Amen. So we got to understand, how did this woman measure her faith? Anybody here got an issue that you want to be made whole of today? Anybody got a sickness? Anybody got financial trouble? See, we talk about miracles, but it ain't always just about a healing. Sometimes it's, you know, issues in our families. Sometimes it's finances. Sometimes it's issues on the job. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm preaching to people that's all perfect and ain't got no issues. No, I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Some of you walked in here today with some issues. But I'm going to go a little bit deeper, because I feel some of you walked in here today with just serious need, and you need God to move in your life and you need God to move in your circumstance. And some of you walked in here going through a storm, amen, that feels like all hell has broke loose in your life. Amen. It's because all hell has broke loose in your life. And some of you walked in here going through some situations that you can't explain and you don't understand. And you've been trying to wring your head and you've been trying to figure it out, and you've been trying to just pull your hair out because it don't make sense. minutes and you don't know why. Amen. But I've come to preach some hope today in this house. Amen. That the miracle worker has walked into this place on a Sunday. Amen. To loose the miraculous, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional or spiritual. Amen. The miraculous is in this place. So how do we measure our faith? Well, I'm going to tell you how not to measure it. You do not measure your faith according to your problem. You cannot measure your faith correctly according to the storm of life that you walked in. Or the storm that is blowed in. Because it ain't always we walked into. Amen. You cannot measure your faith according to the issue and the trial and the sickness and the disease. Amen. But I want to go a little bit deeper. You cannot measure your faith according to the hurt of your past and your mistakes, because some of you walked in here wounded. Amen. And I promise you, the pastor ain't told me anything. Amen. But in the Holy Ghost, the Lord said, there's going to be people walked in with deep wounds of the past. And Satoramayatahaye. And some of you walked in here with pains. Amen. You walked in here with failures and mistakes that you cannot get over. Amen. And some of you walked in here with shame and guilt that is so deep. It has rooted itself in your life. Oh, when we talk about miracles, we just talk about the healings and the physical. Amen. But God's wanting to reach deep down inside some of you in this house. Amen. And he's wanting to set you free from the guilt and the shame of your past. Amen. God's wanting to set you free. Amen. From the things that trouble you. Amen. Hallelujah. There's some that walked in here. Amen. Where people have hurt you years ago and you still deal with the wounds. Amen. But the wound healer is in this house. Amen. The one that can touch you. Amen. And make you whole is in this place. God wants to do a miracle, amen, through your family issues, amen. And I feel it over and over in the spirit. Some of you walked in here and there's some serious issues going on in your family, but God's walked in here today, amen, to try to challenge us the correct way to measure our faith. Amen. John chapter 5 and verse 2, we find, amen, that at Jerusalem there's a sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And there laid a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, of withered, waiting for the moving of the water. People that seriously need a move of God. For the angel went down at a certain season and to the pool and troubled the water. For whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, they was made whole. Amen, of whatever disease they had. I mean, that's a good place to hang around if you got a need. You're in a good place to be at on a Sunday morning if you got a need. The Bible says a certain man was there, had infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. And some of you walked in here with some things you've had a long time. Is this all right? But you're going to leave without it today. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he'd been a long time in the case. And he said, "Wilt thou made whole?" Now, I've got to look at this and I have to say, well, if that was me sitting at a pool with a need, waiting to get in the water so I can be healed, my answer probably would have been, duh. Yeah. That's why I'm here. That's why everybody else is here. Yeah. But that's not what he said. He said, "Oh, I have no man that when the water is troubled can put me in the pool, but while I'm coming down, another steppeth down before me." Amen. Is it possible that this man had been in this case so long and he finally accepted that this is who I am and this is what I'm going to be, and he finally lost all hope and faith that he was ever... He was still hanging around the miracles and he still was hanging around the pool, but he just got to the place where he felt like, well, I'm never going to get it myself, so I'm going to settle to watch others get their miracle, and I'm going to settle for others to get their healing, and I'll be okay just seeing them there. Otherwise, I felt like, now it ain't in the scripture, I'm just elaborating on my feelings. Otherwise, I think he would have said, "Yes, I want to be healed. That's why I'm here." But that wasn't his mindset, because he'd been there so long. He was accustomed to staying the same way. He was accustomed to coming and leaving the same way he walked in. Amen. And I want to challenge challenge somebody today in this house. It may be easy to leave this place and said, I've dealt with this for so long. There's no hope for me. Amen. But I've come to preach against that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because God can do anything and everything. And there's nothing impossible with him. And no matter how long you've been in that state, and no matter how long you've been going through that storm, and no matter how long you've been dealing with that hurt and that wound, amen, God's in this house to do a miracle in your life. Shotaramahaye. Amen. And so we find that Jesus told him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately, the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and he walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. Amen. 38 years he was dealing with that. Amen. But on a Sunday when he, or on a day where he had an encounter with Jesus, he was made whole. And on this Sunday, you can have an encounter with Jesus and be made whole. Amen. So we got to understand and figure out the correct way to measure your faith. Amen. Your flesh says measure your faith according to your situation and measure your faith according to your problem. But the correct way to measure your faith is in God and God alone. Amen. It's in God's ability. It's not according to our ability. It's not according to what we can do. It's not even according to what we've been through or what we're facing. Amen. It's according to who my God is. Amen. And he's still a miracle working God. He's still a deliverer. He's still a savior. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not according to my emotions. It's according to who my Jesus is. Amen. And he is the author and finisher of my faith. That's why he said in Mark 11 and 22, have faith in God. Don't have faith in your soul. We put more faith sometimes in our problem than we do in our God. Amen. But God wants to challenge us today. Have faith in him. Amen. For verily I say, whatsoever you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. God wants to remove doubt today. But shall believe that these things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. Saith, therefore I say unto you, amen, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. We don't measure our faith according to our storm and our situation. It's totally based in who our God is. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Robbins, that's exciting. Whew. I mean, we can kind of shout over that. You already been doing it. Woo! But what does that mean? How do I still really measure? All right, God, I'm going to get my measuring tape out today. All right, now we know we measure our faith according to our God. So I'm going to try to figure out how to, you know, put me into where God is. You know, because we all know time and we all know space and we all know limitations and we all know boxes and we know that, you know, just like in here, I mean, we only got so much room. And so we know that. So somewhere along the way, Brother Hanson, there's got to be a limit to what I can do and what I can experience. So how do I really measure, now that I know it's in God, how do I really measure my faith in God? And this is what the Lord spoke to me to tell you today. He said, I am too large for you to measure. I'm too great for you to measure. Amen. I'm too big for you to comprehend. I'm too large for you to even understand. He said, there is no measurement that can measure how big I am. There's no measurement that can measure what I can do. There's no measurement in way, amen, to understand my abilities and my power. Amen. You will never fully grasp, amen, how big really I am until we get to heaven with him. Amen. And we need to understand God. So I've come to challenge you today. This is how big God is. He said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Amen. Let me tell you how big he is. Amen. There's no house can build that's big enough. There's no earth big enough that can handle him. Amen. God is so God and he's so large. You can't compass and you can't contain him. He's everywhere all the time. Amen. And he's in this house. And he said in his word, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And in this house, there's nothing impossible with God. Acts 28 and 31, the very last scripture in the book of Acts, the only book that's still being wrote. Every other book in the Bible had a amen, a Selah, something that ended, but we're still living the book of Acts today. Amen. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost today with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, there is no greater miracle than receiving God inside of your life. And God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you'll speak in a heavenly language. Amen. And you'll feel something you've never felt before. Amen. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But in Acts 28 and 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me pause to say, you are concerned by Jesus. He's concerned about you, your situation, everything. He wants you to be blessed and touched. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, you've probably heard this, but let me just tell you what that means. That actually means unstoppable. So the last verse of the book of Acts, which we're still living today, simply means the church shall be unstoppable. There's nothing that can stop the church. Amen. Even the gates of hell cannot stop the church. Amen. No storm can stop the church. No situation can stop the church. No sickness, no disease, no problem, no storm, no trial, no family issue, no circumstance. Why? This is God's church. He gave his blood for it. He died for it. And he's so large in charge. He's so big and grand and great. He cares about you and where you are. And that's why he walked in a house on a Sunday and sent a preacher from Mississippi to tell you, you are important to God and you matter to God, and what you're going through matters to God. And that's why he come into this house to perform the miraculous. Amen. Amen. Angels just fell in this house. Oh, there's ministering angels just come all in this house. Oh, there's been some the whole service, but God just sent. When I walked in, there was already here, but God just sent many angels in this place for ministering, because he's about to heal and deliver and set free.
My God.
So, man, there's going to be a move of the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm going to skip over some stuff because the Lord's telling me to move to my last part. Come on, lift your hands right now and just love him. God's speaking to somebody right now and he's trying to challenge your faith. Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost, you need to pray in the Spirit right now. Come on, God's building some faith right now. Ma. God's moving fear and doubt out the way right now. Shatara matora mayekataha. Let me tell somebody, you can trust God with your hurts right now. You can trust God with your past right now. You can trust God with your wounds right now. You can trust Him with your sickness right now. What is the measure of your faith? I want to talk to you personally. What is the measure of your faith? Where are you going to put your trust in? I don't want it to be in horses and men, but I want to be in God. And this is what the Lord is speaking right now. What my people have need of on this day, if they will have faith in me, amen, as their God, I will perform the miraculous in their life. Rotana Mahaye. If you have a need of God, Rosataya Namaha, and you're willing to release your faith right now, there's ministering angels in this house. And if you will respond with your faith right now in the name of Jesus, God's going to begin to release the miraculous power in your life. Hey, Tatara Mosatahaye. Oh, Rosataha. If you need a miracle, you ought to run down to this front right now, because the Holy Ghost is troubling the water. The water's troubled right now. Let me tell you, there's nothing too big for God. I've watched cancer fall off on the floor and dry up in front of my eyes. I've laid hands on the blind and their eyes be opened in the name of Jesus. Watch cripples, amen, get out of wheelchairs, amen, and walk again. I've seen withered hands. I'm trying to build your faith right now. You got to measure it according to God. Amen. I've seen the deaf and the dumb be healed in the name of Jesus. Come on, go ahead and respond. Go ahead and watch God. Go ahead and put your faith and trust in Him right now. There's a divine visitation and a troubling of the water. I loose angelic hosts to minister to every man and woman under the sound of my voice that has faith in you right now. I loose physical, financial, emotional, and spiritual healing in this house. Come on, some of you have been hurt even as a child and a young person. Amen. I want to challenge you. Come to this front and trust God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. He can heal high blood pressure. He can heal cancer. Amen. He can heal every manner of disease and sickness. Oh, all you got to do is be willing to step out like the woman with an issue of blood. I'm going to touch Jesus. And if I touch Him, I shall be whole.